I'm going to begin by reading Luke chapter 1 from verses 5 through 20. But by the time we tell the story, we'll hit most of chapter 1. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel he will bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man. My wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak with you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." This is God's word for us today from Luke chapter 1. A voice calls out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make his paths straight." And John appeared in the desert, in the wilderness, in Judea, near the Jordan River, and began to preach to the people, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." And as John spoke, people gathered, and people from all over Judea and in the town and city of Jerusalem and around the country came to listen to this prophet in the wilderness who was saying, "God is keeping his promise. The Messiah is going to come. The day of the Lord is coming. And you need to believe that it is true. And you need to live like it is true." And the people said, "What should we do?" And John spoke with different groups, tax collectors and soldiers, regular people, said, "This is what you need to do. Live like you believe that God is real and that he's keeping his promise." But it's not easy to believe that God's word is true and to live like God's word is true. It was hard for John's listeners to really believe it. After all, it had been hundreds of years, even since the last prophet had stood up and spoken and made promises that God's word was coming true and that God's Messiah was going to come. It had been so long, come since David's son sat on David's throne. How could they believe that Messiah was really going to show up? And it's hard to live like it's true when everything around you says, do what seems right in your own eyes. Live in a way that makes sense in the world. Do what you need to do to get by. It's hard to really believe like God's word is true. If that's hard for John's hearers, it was sure hard for us. After all, it hasn't just been a few hundred years, it's been a couple of thousand years since Jesus walked this earth among us. How can we believe that God will keep his promises? And look at the world around us. How can we live like God's promises and God's word is true and is trustworthy? Sometimes faith needs help. Sometimes we need people to help us believe. Zechariah knew a lot about that. Here is Zechariah. Zechariah is not a junior senior anymore. He is approaching senior seniorness. Now, he was still able to keep up his ministry in the temple. In those days, there was thousands of priests. Many, many thousands. And so twice a year, if you were a priest, you would go to Jerusalem twice a year for a week at a time. And you would serve in the temple. And during your week there, they would draw a name. And whoever the name was drawn, each day one person would go in to light incense in the temple. But there were so many priests that your name might never be drawn for that very, very special service. And here's Zechariah, this old, old man, who finally his name is drawn. And he goes into the temple to light incense and to pray that God will keep his promises that he made all those many centuries and years ago. And while he is there, something rather unexpected happens. The angel Gabriel is suddenly there, right beside where Zechariah is going to light incense. You can just imagine, here he is. He's got the, it wasn't a barbecue lighter. He had the fire. He's about to light the incense, and suddenly there's an angel right there beside him. It's the angel Gabriel, and he has a message for Zechariah. An incredible message, a surprising message, and an impossible message. Zechariah, your prayers have been answered. Messiah is coming. But not just the prayers that you've been praying now, the prayers that you've been praying all your life. Your wife is going to become pregnant. You will have a son, and you will name him John. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to call back people to God so that they begin to believe that God's word is true and to live like God's word is true. And Zechariah didn't believe him. Zechariah knew how impossible this was. He says, how am I supposed to believe this? How can I be sure that it's true? After all, we aren't spring chickens anymore. And the last time I heard, people our age didn't have babies. Have you forgotten? And Gabriel says, I am Gabriel. I stand in God's presence. I see God's face. I'm bringing you God's message. And just because I know you need some help, I'm going to help you. You won't be able to speak until the baby's born. Now, we told that story in Sunday school last week, and some of our kids were there. And when we did the math, we figured that if Gabriel had arrived and gave him that message today, then they wouldn't be able to speak until they went back to school after next summer in September. And I, yes, mothers everywhere cheering. But their faces were priceless. How could you be quiet there that long? Well, Zechariah said, Zechariah would have loved to talk, but it didn't matter how hard he tried. He would have 9 months of a constant reminder that God's word is true. All God's promises are true. What he says he's going to do. Well, Zechariah now had a very good reason to believe the angel. And now he needed to live like it was true. So he went home to Elizabeth. And the two of them together lived and loved like it was true. And wouldn't you know it, that seniorest of senior ladies realized that she was pregnant. And she was amazed. And then she got to help Zechariah believe. Because if anyone knew first that God's promise was true, Elizabeth knew. She felt it. She felt it in herself, and she felt it in her belly, and she knew that God keeps his promise. And together, Zechariah and Elizabeth encouraged one another and helped each other believe that God's word is true and helped each other live like they really believed that. Far to the north, in a tiny village, in an unfashionable part of the country, there was another woman. And this was a very young woman, a teenager. And the angel Gabriel was sent once again to the little town of Nazareth, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And that angel went to Mary and said, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you." And you know, I don't know where Mary was. It doesn't matter. When you have an angel show up, whether it's in your house or at the well or wherever you are, this was not supposed to happen. This was not expected news. And Mary was more than a little frightened. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. I have good news to you. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Now Mary had questions too. "How is this possible?" said Mary. "How will this be? Because I am a virgin." But somehow Gabriel's response to her makes it seem that Mary's was a real question. And yet she was willing to believe. He says to her, "The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." And Gabriel didn't stop there. He gave her more help to help her believe. God is good at impossible things. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who is said to be barren, is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail. And Mary believed God's word was true. And she chose to live like God's word was true. And so she said, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her, and Mary got ready as quickly as she could, made all the arrangements that she could go to see Elizabeth, to see this thing that had happened that the angel had told her about. And Mary traveled south to Judea. And when she went into Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth, something else amazing happened. As soon as Elizabeth heard the sound of Mary's voice, that baby John in her belly did cartwheels. And Elizabeth was filled with God's Holy Spirit. And Elizabeth came rushing to greet Elizabeth. And she says, "Why am I so favored? Blessed Mary, are you among women? And blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord would come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would keep his promises to her. Blessed are those who have believed that God keeps his promises." And Mary stayed there for 3 months with Elizabeth, and they encouraged one another, helping each other through their pregnancies, helping each other believe that these miracle babies in their bellies were God's plan for their world, that God was keeping his promises. Luke stops to say that Mary went home at that point, but if you do the math, you'll realize that Mary stayed long enough to see the next part of the story. Because when 9 months were done, Elizabeth had a baby son. And all of her friends and relatives gathered around to celebrate with her and to celebrate with Zechariah, who still couldn't speak. Betcha he was disappointed for that first week. You know, the baby's here. Why can't I talk? But it was 8 days later, and it was time for the party, the circumcision and naming party. The rabbis and priests came. The family gathered around. The boy was circumcised and named. And when they asked what the baby's name would be, they said, "It should be Zechariah, right? After all, he's waited all these years to have a baby. Surely you're going to call him after his father." And Elizabeth spoke up and said, "No, his name is John." After all, that was what the angel had said. And they didn't believe her. They thought that was still a bad idea. So they went and got something so that Zechariah could write it down. So, "Well, what do you think the child should be called?" And he wrote down, "His name is John." And as Zechariah in that moment lived like every promise of God was true, God's Spirit opened his mouth. And Zechariah came out with this incredible song of praise and worship to God. "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, just like he promised through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies, from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors, to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all of our days." And now imagine him with that baby John in his arms saying, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven and shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." All of Zechariah and Elizabeth's friends and relatives were absolutely astounded and amazed to see what God had done and God was doing, and they wondered what would happen to this child. And John grew up. And after his parents had died, he had those who cared for him, and he went and he lived in the wilderness until the time came for him to stand up in the desert, in the wilderness, near the Jordan, and proclaim God's word to God's people. All God's promises are coming true. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is coming near. Messiah is coming. And you need to believe that it is true. And you need to live like it is true. Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary, they all had impossible things to believe. Promises from God that were too big to wrap their heads around. And yet, they helped one another. They encouraged one another. They strengthened one another so that they could believe that God's word was true, so that they could live like God's word was true. That's how life works for us too. The reality is that today, sometimes we look at our lives and our situations and the world around us, and we know in our heads, yes, Jesus is coming back. Yes, Jesus made lots of nice promises. But sometimes, in the depths of it, it is so hard to really believe that in a way that changes our hearts and to really live like it matters. When you're standing in a funeral visitation beside the casket, it's hard to remember the promise, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me where I am. When you are alone and lonely and frightened, it is hard to remember God's promise, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. When you are ashamed and guilty and embarrassed and hurting, it's hard to remember that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and God will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you are anxious and depressed and frightened, it's hard to remember that the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And if you feel small and threatened and worried in your congregation, it might be hard to remember Jesus saying, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Sometimes it's hard to believe that God's word is true, and it is hard to live like God's word is true. But God has given help. First, the Holy Spirit within us that whispers to us, reminding us of the truth of God's word, reminding us of the promises God has kept, and reminding us that He is always with us. And secondly, God gives us help in the people around us. Because if I am frightened, anxious, hurting, and hopeless, then you can be my helper and my encourager, the one who strengthens me and helps me hear and believe God's promise. When your neighbor is grieving, you can be the one to wrap your arms around them. When your children don't know the truths and the stories, you can be one of the ones who comes to help them learn. We as God's church get to help God's people and all of those we love and those around us so that together we grow in our faith and we're changed into people who look more and more like Jesus. Which is just another way of saying that we learn to believe that God's word is true. And we learn to live that it's really true. So this week, in this Advent season, and into the new year, as you go into your life, and it is hard to believe and live that way, I pray that God will speak in your heart his truth so that you know God's spirit inside of you. And I pray that God brings people around you to help you to learn and to grow in your faith and to see God's presence and feel God's hugs. And as you go into your life and your world today and this day, I hope you will be the people who believe that God's word is true. And to live that out in a way that helps people around you. By teaching one another about God. By showing one another how to live and serve and give. By encouraging one another in our faith. By listening and learning from one another. By speaking God's promises again and again. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will come back to be with you and so that you may be where I am. I will forgive you. I will make you clean. I will make you new. I will build my church so the whole world will see until the whole world knows that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the good news. This is God's promise. So let's go and believe that God's word is true. And let's live like God's word is true. Now let's pray together. Lord our God, thank you that every promise you make is true. That your word is absolutely dependable. Because you are dependable. You are true. Thank you that you kept your promise to your people that Jesus would come and be born among us. Thank you that you kept your promise to Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary. Thank you that you keep your promises to us. And as we live in the in-between time of Jesus coming and Jesus coming again, we pray that you would help us to believe that your word is true and to live like your word is true. We pray this in your name. Amen.